If you were here this morning, we're dealing with the first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. And we're dealing with that issue of fear and how it can be taken away as we come into the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have him as our refuge. I encouraged everyone there this morning, as I would do this evening, if you're out of Christ tonight and you're listening on, you'd flee to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But we're thankful that our Saviour comes alongside us as believers and helps us through this life, through this journey. He takes away our fears, our difficulties, our anxieties and our times of trouble. And what a wonder and a blessing that is. Even as we were thinking in reading this morning in Matthew 14 about the time of the disciples in the sea and being troubled, and they were afraid. And it's verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." As we're thinking about that this morning, we're thinking about the fears being taken away. But we're going a wee bit further tonight, as we even look at verse 4 especially, that it's not just that in the Christian walk, in the Christian life, we have a numb existence, an existence without fears or any feelings at all, but rather we have that that sinful plague upon humanity, that is fear taken away, but we've been given a wonderful blessing of God in that he gives us joy. He gives us gladness in the Christian walk. And I think that's wonderful. Even in the middle of a storm, I was reading there in verse 27 again, "Be of good cheer." Now, anyone here, I don't know if whoever's really been on a boat. I was brought up in Kilkeel, in a fishing place, and to be honest, I haven't been in a boat very much, which you might be surprised, but not everyone in Kilkeel has been on a fishing boat. But we can all sort of appreciate what it would be like to be in the middle of a storm. And these fishermen were terrified, and they were afraid. But the Saviour came along and said, "Be of good cheer." Sort of what you could say in our terms, "Be happy. Be happy in the storm. It is I." So the Saviour came alongside and said, "It's me that's here. It's your Redeemer. It's your Saviour. And I want you to be of good cheer. I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to be afraid. Be not afraid. Rather, be of good cheer." And that's what we want to think a little about tonight in our Psalm 46, especially verse 4. And we'll read it. It says, "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High." And we'll see, even as we have moved on from 46, the first three verses of the taking, "Therefore will not we fear," we've moved on, as I said, here, where the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Maybe a casual reading, and whether you read this many times or only a few times, it's not really something I had thought a whole lot before until recent. But I came across them four words, "There is a river." And for some reason, God put it upon my heart and made me think about it and looked up a little bit about it. And I thought, I think this is a lovely verse in the Word of God. And we shouldn't really skip over a wee verse that gets saying, "There is a river." Well, you could say, well, that's sort of obvious. There's lots of rivers in the world. But that's not what the Word of God's saying here. There is a river. There's one river that he's talking about here. Now, it's not a physical river. I would like to put it to you tonight that what's being talked about here tonight, the river is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes glad the city of God. And if we could turn over to John chapter 14. I lived in Belfast for a while and I spent some time with Paul Foster, the minister there, the Reverend Foster, who preaches in Dromore now. And he would told us, sometimes told me, that when he was younger, he used to study the Word of God. And the way he used to study was, he used to take maybe a sentence and he would emphasize different words. And I think that's a good word of advice. That's not always the way to study God's Word, but that's one of the ways that can give you blessing. And even this verse here in verse 6, it's a well-known verse to everyone here, but I think it ties in well with what we're saying. And if you have your finger in 46, that Psalm 46, you could compare the two of them. That phrase, "there is a river," if we even take that first, the phrase "is," "there is a river," we say "is," there is definitely a river. With certainty, we can say that there is a river for us. And look there in verse 6. The deceiver said, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." Jesus is the way. There's nobody else is the way. You can say there's many other rivers, but here in our psalm it says there is a river. There is definitely a river provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and says, "I'm the one to look to. Not anybody else but me alone." As we move on, it says there is a river. Not many rivers, but there's only one river. As we go on and read in this verse, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's only by me that you can be saved. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ we can have our sins forgiven. And then there is a river. The river here, that, as I've been trying to put to you, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, but by me." So again, we'll see that there is definitely a redeemer for God's people, and that is to be found in one way, which is through the only redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a wonderful blessing that we have, that there is a redeemer for us. And I think this is what it's talking about here, and we'll seek to prove that as we go along. But whenever I was thinking about a river, I was thinking, well, what especially about a river is special or significant about a river? And I come up with, there's many reasons probably, but two of the main reasons I came up with was that one, river brings life. As we all know, we wouldn't last too long without water. We all need fresh water. And that's what a river is. A river is fresh water. If you get a good, clean river, we have, it brings life. And again, if you're in John there, John chapter 4, we have the account with Jesus with the woman of Samaria. And in verse 10, the deceiver says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The water that our Saviour gives us is living water. It brings us into newness of life. Again, anyone here who is dead in their sins, who has not known their sins forgiven, they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is living water. And he gives us that living water, which is through the blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe if you should turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. The next thing I thought of a river was, that's for cleansing. It cleanses us. 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is the example, the account of Naaman. He was covered in leprosy. And he went to the prophet. And the prophet says, "Go wash." So read there in verse 14. "Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh, came unto him again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." He was cleansed from his leprosy. And us too, we all have a sin problem. Leprosy in the Bible is often compared to sin. And the only way we can have our sins taken away, washed away, is through the river that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. And he brings cleansing. Read there in 1 John. First John chapter 1. If you can find it. First John chapter 1 verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like to apologize tonight because for some reason my throat's giving me a bit of bother, but maybe with plenty of water that'll help us tonight. But anyway, could you stick with me, please? If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us. And we see here that through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have cleansing, perfect cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. There, verse 7. But we must confess our sins. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That we have a cleansing stream found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed there on Calvary. And I think then, that's just a wonderful thing that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing. And we need to do that continually. We all know that we had to come first. And we came at first to the Lord Jesus Christ. We found cleansing and we find life. But to continue with a great life with God and not a stale life, to continue with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need cleansing from our sin. And it's not just something we have to do once when we come to the Saviour, but something we must always do. We must always repent, and we must always believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the cleansing of our souls, and come to him and confess our sins, because it says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And especially I thought the blessing was in this river is that if we think back to the time of Sennacherib coming to Hezekiah, that account there we'll have in 2 Kings chapter 20. I was reading through a book one day and happened to see back archaeologists have found what has been talking about here in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 20. And it says, and the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So back then, whenever the armies of Sennacherib were coming to Jerusalem, it is said that Hezekiah diverted the water, stopped the water from round about Jerusalem, so that whenever the armies of Sennacherib come, they didn't find much water, but rather he channeled the water in through Jerusalem, so that at the time when they were besieged, they had water. And that reminded me of this here account in Psalm 46. Because we see that in a time of siege, it's very important that one of the two most important things in a time of siege is that you have clean water for drinking and for washing. Because two of the biggest problems in a siege is that there's disease and that you have nothing to drink, because it's said you wouldn't last too long without water. So we see that as the armies come round about the city of God, Jerusalem, that the people there had some water to drink and they had something to clean themselves with. Now, why is that relevant? Well, we'll go back to our Psalm again, Psalm 46. We see there that there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And this river that we've been talking about tonight is not for everyone. It's not for anyone to come, like they say they have right to it, unless they come in repentance and faith. Because the enemies of God, they couldn't come and take of this river. It was for the people who was within the city. God's people, the city of God here, are put to you as Jerusalem. It's talking about the city of Jerusalem. But it's not just talking simply here about the city itself, but it's rather it's talking about a reference to God's people. And God's people are the ones who can partake of this here water for their constant cleansing and forgiveness. And in times when enemies come round about us, we've something that we have sure, that when we go to the Word of God, we can have blessing and we can find help in our time of need. So as we go to the Word of God, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find Him there, is a blessing to our souls in our times of difficulties. And as we go over to Revelation chapter 21, you see this more especially. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 2. And it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" And so we see here that the city of God is actually God's people. Let's read again verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." And it's only God's people here that's talked about in our psalm. In our psalm here, it's talking about the people of God. And the only way we can find this cleansing, we can find this life, is when we go to the Word of God. Again, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, we have it again here. The Savior's talking about, or the Savior Apostle Paul's talking here in verse 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." So as Christians here tonight, we needn't think as we walk in our Christian life and we don't spend time in his word, we don't spend time alone with God and in prayer, we needn't think that the cleansing, that cleansing in the word, we won't be taking more from the world and more unto God. We seek and we strive after holiness. But if we're not in the word, and if we're not spending time alone with God, we needn't think that will happen. We'll only become more like the world, and that will not be for happiness. That will not be for joy. Because if we read, as we read there in Psalm 1, we read of the blessed man, the happy man. What is the happy man? What is the habit of the happy man? It says it's the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So we see that a happy man is a holy man. And we can't be holy men and women unless we're in the Word of God, unless we're in the place of prayer. We must do that each and every day, not just here on a Sunday or in a midweek meeting, but we must all come. And that is a challenge to me for how much time I spend in prayer. And I hope it's a challenge to everyone here, because if you look into your own hearts, how often do you find in the place of prayer at home or in the closet praying for yourself, praying for your family, praying for your neighbourhood? We all need to do this, because as we do that, it says that we have delight, verse 2, "but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Continually we see that as we continue there in the word, we are blessed. And the last reference we'd like you to go to is Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I'd like to say that as you go to the place, the closet, when we first come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we taste that the waters are sweet. We taste that the Saviour is lovely, but we're only really at the river's edge. But here is an example of what the Saviour is like. It talks of the Saviour, this, and I think this is talking about the Saviour. We'll just scan through these chapters. It says, "Waters," verse number 1, "waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." Talking about the temple here. But then you go down to verse 4, we see that there's waters that are issued out of the threshold, and the waters come down from under, from the right side of the house at the south of the altar. Then as he's brought on in, he sees verse number 3, he's in the waters up to the ankles. So that's nearly what you could say when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come and we know that river up to our ankles. But as it goes on, it says, verse number 4, there's water to the knees. Then again, it goes on to say that he went on out again and the waters were to the loins. And then later on, verse number 5, it says waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And as we really think of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is wonderful. And he's past finding out. And the more we learn about him, and the deeper we go into that river, we can't actually fathom the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And as we go further and deeper into the things of God, we'll be further blessed in our souls. And we'll find out that the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. The ungodly don't really know what it is to be a Christian and what it's like to live the life of a Christian. But to any of the people here who have spent a lot of time in the Word of God, we find that the Saviour is precious to us. He's a wonderful Saviour and a wonderful Redeemer who saved us from our sin. And as we know more about him, as we go further into the waters, we find that they're a blessing. Because this chapter that goes on, verse 7, "Now when I had returned, behold, at the back of the river there were very many trees on the one side and on the other." And later on it goes down to say, "The waters shall be healed, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whatsoever the river shall come, shall live." And verse number 12, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed, and it shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because of their waters that issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine." And as we are planted by the river, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be moved. If we're saved, we'll always be saved. And we are sure heaven is over in it tonight. And we're thankful that as we spend time round the river, drinking from him, that we'll have fruit to bear. Good fruit. Now it will be saved up. Fruits like gold and silver that won't be burnt up at the last day, but we'll have precious fruit that will be given to us because we are planted by the rivers of water. Again, as we were reading there in Psalm 1. But it says there in Psalm 1, "The ungodly are not so. They're not like this tree, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." Anyone who's a believer here tonight, he knows your way. And that's an encouragement to us. But what a contrast in the end of the verse. "But the way of the ungodly shall perish." What a sad statement for our family members out of Christ, our friends and our neighbours round about us that are out of Christ. We can be sure of heaven, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that's an awful thing as we were considering this morning, to fall into the hands of the living God. So this week we should be on our knees praying for our family members, praying for our neighbourhood, that there be a great revival in this land, that God would work and move in this ungodly age that we live in.